So today we are reading the first verse of Bhagavad Gita. It's good you are going back to the beginning. It's good to go back to the roots from time to time. Otherwise we fly too much. So let's go to the Dharma Kshetra Kurukshetra, the field of Dharma. This is verse number one. There are 700 verses in the Gita. This is the first. Oh, it's not there. Okay. You do it with the books, eh? You sing normally the Sanskrit like a traditional system. Yeah, okay. Dhritarashtra uvacha. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre. Samaveta yujutsavaha. Mamaka pandavaschaiva. Kimakurvata sanchaya. Dhritarashtra uvacha. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre. Samaveta yujutsavaha. Mamaka pandavaschaiva. Kimakurvata sanjaya. Dhritarashtra uvacha. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre. Samaveta yujutsavaha. Mamaka pandavaschaiva. Kimakurvata sanjaya. Dhritarashtra uvacha. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre. Samaveta yujutsavaha. Mamakak pandavaschaiva. Kimakurvata sanjaya. Dhritarashtra uvacha. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre. Samaveta yujutsavaha. Mamaka pandavaschaiva. Kimakurvata sanjaya. Dhritarashtra uvacha. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre. Samaveta yujutsavaha. Mamaka pandavaschaiva. Kimakurvata sanjaya. Please. Dhritarashtra uvacha. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre. Samaveta yujutsava. Mamaka pandavaschaiva. Kimakurvata sanjaya. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre. Samaveta yujutsava. Mamaka pandavaschaiva. Kimakurvata sanjaya. Dhritarashtra uvacha. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre. Samaveta yujutsava. Mamakarpandavaschaiva Kimakurvata Sanjaya. Translation on purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Dhritarashtra Uvacha. King Dhritarashtra said, Dharmakshetre, in the place of pilgrimage. Kurukshetre, in the place named Kurukshetra. Samaveta, assembled. Like Samaveta Bhaktavrinda, so Samaveta, assembled. Samaveta Bhaktavrinda, all glories to assembled devotees, sometimes we said. Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki jai, so it's Samaveta, assembled. Yujutsavaha, desiring to fight. Of course, that's a different type of assembling. When the body is assembled, it should not fight. But this is Samaveta Yujutsavaha. Samaveta Bhaktavrinda, it's different. Should be different. Mamaka, my party, sons. Pandava, the sons of Pandu. Cha, and. Eva, certainly. Kim, what. Akurvata, did they do. Sanjaya, O Sanjaya. Dhritarashtra said, O Sanjaya, after my sons and the sons of Pandu assembled in the place of pilgrimage of Kurukshetra, deciding to fight, what did they do? It's a funny question in one way, because they say, they assembled to fight, what did they do? They fought. It's, in one way, it's we will now come and read the purport and then discuss further on this point. Purport. Bhagavad Gita is the widely read theistic science summarized in the Gita Mahatmya, glorification of the Gita. There it says that one should read Bhagavad Gita very scrutinizingly with the help of a person who is a devotee of Sri Krishna and try to understand it without personally motivated interpretations. The example of clear understanding is there in the Bhagavad Gita itself, in the way the teaching is understood by Arjuna, who heard the Gita directly from the Lord. If someone is fortunate enough to understand Bhagavad Gita in that line of the cyclic succession without motivated interpretation, then he surpasses all studies of Vedic wisdom and all scriptures of the world. One will find in the Bhagavad Gita all that is contained in other scriptures. But the reader will also find things which are not to be found elsewhere. That is the specific standard of the Gita. It is the perfect theistic science because it is directly spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. I'll comment briefly on this and then go paragraph after paragraph, briefly commenting. And then we will have some time for discussion. So the Srila Prabhupada in this first paragraph, it's actually an introductory paragraph for the whole Gita. It's the first verse. He already wrote the introduction, but now he's commenting on the Gita proper, like the first verse. So he's introducing the authoritative position of the Gita because was spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, I have. Thank you. So, It was spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is extraordinary. We have many religious scriptures, and they are considered revealed scriptures by their followers, but generally the scriptures were written by the prophets, right? The prophets. And in the scripture we don't find generally God speaking to humanity directly, but he does it through the prophets or the empowered writers of scripture. In this case, in the Gita, it's God himself speaking to humanity. And therefore it is named Bhagavad Gita, the song of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is complete in six opulences. So it is actually a song of love, sung by God for the benefit of the sleeping souls, to wake us up from our slumber in material consciousness. And therefore Srila Prabhupada says here, it is the most authoritative text, theistic science. Prabhupada, it's interesting how Prabhupada uses the term science. Science means that there is theory. So we read the message of the Gita. Someone could say this is theory. But then there is practical application or experimentation, and then there is realization, clear result. And when we read the Bhagavad Gita, we can actually apply it. We apply it in our lives, and then we can have an experience. Therefore, it is theistic science. It is not just theology, but it is practical theology, applied theology. So Prabhupada mentions this in this purport, this first paragraph. Then the second paragraph is short. It's a continuation of the first in one way, now setting the Gita into the context of the Mahabharata. The topics discussed by Dhritarashtra and Sanjaya, as described in the Mahabharata, form the basic principle for this great philosophy. It is understood that this philosophy evolved on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, which is a sacred place of pilgrimage from the immemorial time of the Vedic age. It was spoken by the Lord when he was present personally on this planet for the guidance of mankind. So, where it was spoken, the Bhagavad Gita? The Bhagavad Gita was spoken in Dharma Kshetra, a place of Dharma. Srila Prabhupada's purpose followed almost, we could say, about 50% follow Srila Baladev Vidyabhushana's purport. In the beginning of the Gita, you may have noticed Srila Prabhupada's dedication of the Gita to Sri Baladeva Vidyabhushana. You see on the, probably you have it. It's always in the beginning after the editorial notes. You see this page? There is the editorial description. And then Prabhupada writes to Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana, who presented so nicely the Govinda Vashya commentary on Vedanta philosophy. So there are actually many commentaries on the Gita by our acharyas, like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has also commentary, one or even two maybe. Sri Madhva Acharya, he has two commentaries on the Gita. Then Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wrote another commentary on the Gita. But Srila Prabhupada, in this particular text, he's especially following Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana, who established the legitimacy of our Sampradaya by writing the Govinda Vashya commentary on the Vedanta Vedanta Sutra. It's a long story not to get into all the details of this, but the point is that he's following Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana. So I like sometimes to look at the commentaries of Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana and Prabhupada's commentary and compare what is Srila Prabhupada repeating verbatim, which he does sometimes, or some sections he is explaining in his own words, sometimes in a summarized way, sometimes he elaborates on it. And this shows Srila Prabhupada's loyalty to the previous acharyas. He's contributing, but he is being loyal to the previous acharya. I found something interesting on Kurukshetra, which Srila Prabhupada does not elaborate on it. He just summarizes it in this way. And Baladeva Vidyabhushana is quoting from Mahabharata. There is a conversation between Vaishampayana and Janamejaya, the son of Maharaj Parikshit. And then there is a quote from one of the Upanishads, Javala Upanishad. And Baladeva Vidyabhushana explains as follows. This is happening at Kurukshetra, a place of Dharma. The Shruti says, Yat anu kurukshetram devanam deva yajanam sarvesham bhutanam brahma sadhanam. Kurukshetra is a place for sacrifice to the devatas, the demigods, by those who are like the devas. It is the abode of Brahman for all living beings. From this, we understand that it has become famous as a place for increasing Dharma. So Srila Prabhupada in his purport is saying, Kurukshetra is a place of Dharma since time immemorial. And he mentions the Vedic ages. The Vedic ages can be understood according to this statement, when the demigods used to come to worship, they may do it still and we don't see them, but in previous ages, the demigods became visible to the human eye. And they will perform their worship in places such as Kurukshetra. And they will be, in this way, this will make the place very sanctified, very special place. So Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita in such a sanctified place. And therefore the meaning of Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra. It's a place of Dharma. A place where special sacrifices have been performed since time immemorial. Then the next paragraph, third paragraph, describes Dhritarashtra's concern about the influence of the place. Like Indian people in general, they have in their blood, so to say, they understand that there are places which influence positively and places which influence negatively in whatever we do in life, even in practical material ways. So even Dhritarashtra was a person badly influenced by his envious son Duryodhana. He was very bad influenced by his sons, especially by the leading son, against the Pandavas, and this is also seen in this verse. But still, because he had in his blood that he understood that this place may have an influence against us, in the deep of his heart he knew what we are doing is not good. His brother Vidura was telling him. And he knew it is not good what we are doing. So he, in the back of his mind, he knew that the place will have an influence. So Srila Prabhupada speaks about that. The word Dharma Kshetra, a place where religious rituals are performed, is significant because On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present on the side of Arjuna. Dhritarashtra, the father of the Kurus, was highly doubtful about the possibility of his son's ultimate victory. Sri Baladev Vidyabhushana also mentions this point, that Dhritarashtra was specifically concerned that Krishna was driving Arjuna's chariot. So this was already very bad. He knew that Krishna was not an ordinary person. So he knew Krishna had supernatural power, at the very least. That he understood. So he was really concerned. And on top of that, the place, Kurukshetra, Dharmakshetra. Dhritarashtra, the father of the Kurus, was highly doubtful about the possibility of his son's ultimate victory. In his doubt, he inquired from his secretary, Sanjaya, what did they do? He was confident that both his sons and the sons of his younger brother, Pandu, were assembled in that field of Kurukshetra for a determined engagement of the war. Still, his inquiry is significant. He did not want a compromise between the cousins and brothers, and he wanted to be sure of the fate of his sons on the battlefield. Because the battle was arranged to be fought at Kurukshetra, which is mentioned elsewhere in the Vedas as a place of worship, the quote we read before, even for the denizens of heaven, Dhritarashtra became very fearful about the influence of the holy place on the outcome of the battle. He knew very well that this would influence Arjuna and the sons of Pandu favorably, because by nature they were all virtues. Sanjaya was a student of Vyas, and therefore, by the mercy of Vyasa, Sanjaya was able to envision the battlefield of Kurukshetra even while he was in the room of Dhritarashtra. And so Dhritarashtra asked him about the situation on the battlefield. So Sanjaya, Dhritarashtra's secretary, he had mystic power by the blessing of Vyasadev, and he could see, like if he was seeing a TV, he could see in his heart what was happening. And Dhritarashtra, he is blind, so he cannot see himself. He's physically blind and also spiritually blind. And he's asking him, please tell me what happened. What is the situation? Let me read something more about Baladev Vidyabhushana. Yes, it's here in the commentary. When discussing this part, quoting the Mahabharata, he says, like if Sanjaya will reply, like, you have already said that they gathered to fight. Not that he replied, but this will be like kind of a way of replying. That's why I said before, it is a funny question in one way, because they went there for fighting. So why he will ask such a question? If they gather to fight, they want to fight. So he says, you have already said that they gather to fight, so they will certainly fight. What is your intention in asking again what they did? You said they gather to fight, and you said, what did they do? What's the point? They gather to fight. You said it. So Srila Prabhupada is giving in his purport a very nice illumination on why he did ask, because actually he was worried because of the influence of the place, they may come to an agreement and stop fighting. This is what Srila Prabhupada analyzes in the purport. So that will be another way of looking at the text. And also another aspect that Srila Prabhupada emphasizes is that also the place will certainly work in favor of the Pandavas, who were his enemies. He didn't want to come to an agreement. And actually this shows the miserly mentality of the Dhritarashtra, who he was blind, not only physically but also spiritually. They were also Kurus. The place is named Kurukshetra, is the field of the Kurus. His family was the Kuru dynasty. And the Pandavas were as Kurus as his sons. And actually they were the legitimate inheritors of the throne. But he had put them aside. He talks about the Pandavas as if they were someone else. He uses the word Mamaka. Mamaka means my sons, my people, Mama. Mamaka Pandavas Chaiva. My sons, and also Cha and the Pandavas. So there is a separation. He is creating division. And he was afraid the place may either bring back them together and they don't fight, then my sons will not be favored. Or either my sons will be defeated by the opposite camp. So that's his concern. And now the last paragraph. Both the Pandavas and the sons of Dhritarashtra belong to the same family. But Dhritarashtra's mind is disclosed herein. He deliberately claimed only his sons as Kurus, and he separated the sons of Pandu from the family heritage. One can thus understand the specific position of Dhritarashtra in his relationship with his nephews, the sons of Pandu. And in the paddy field, the unnecessary plants are taken out, so it is expected from the very beginning of these topics that in the religious field of Kurukshetra, where the father of religion, Sri Krishna, was present, the unwanted plants like Dhritarashtra's son, Duryodhana, and others will be wiped out, and the thoroughly religious persons headed by Yudhishthira will be established by the Lord. This is the significance of the words Dharma Kshetre and Kurukshetre, apart from their historical and Vedic importance. And this last paragraph, particularly the last part, is almost verbatim Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana's purport. And that shows Srila Prabhupada's loyalty, how sometimes he's quoting the same what the Acharya has said. He's quoting, maybe with his own words, but practically the same. I will read Srila Baladeva's comment on that part. In a field of grains, the weeds which look similar to the grain, but are obstacles to their growth, are eventually pulled out. Similarly, at the field of Dharma, your sons, who are but imitations of Dharma and opposers of Dharma, will also be destroyed, as if talking to Dhritarashtra. This is the unintentional hidden meaning of the word Dharma Kshetra, uttered by Dhritarashtra himself, by the grace of Sarasvati, skillful in use of words, giving them a double meaning. So Sarasvati makes even the envious people to speak wise words for the glorification of the Lord and for the propagation of Dharma, of the principles of religion. So if you like to make comments or ask questions, we have a few minutes until the kirtaniyas come. Why he's weak? Well, in the Mahabharata, you will remember the story when Vyasadev, he was called to impregnate the wives of his stepbrother, Vichitravirya, because this is prohibited in the age of Kali, but in previous ages, when the brother couldn't have children due to impotency, biological impotency, for whatever reason, then his brother could be impregnate his wife, and the sons will be considered the sons, the children of the impotent brother. This was like a gift the brother will do to his son. In Kali Yuga it's prohibited because the mind of Kali Yuga is very wicked and could get materially polluted and thinking that these are my sons, I had a relation, development, and due attachment to his to the wife of his brother. So in this case, Srila Vyasadeva was called by Satyavati, the mother she's the mother of Srila Vyasadeva, and she was married to Bhishmadev, and Bhishmadev was brother of Vichitravirya, so in that way they were stepbrothers, Vyasadeva and Vichitravirya. So you may remember that the first two, there were three queens, not two queens because one was not there, two queens, I always mix the names, Ambambika and Balika, but two of them were impregnated by Vyasadeva. And the first of them, she covered her eyes. So during the relation, when she saw Srila Vyasadeva, he didn't look like a prince. He looked rough. He was a sadhu coming from the Himalayas, beard, practicing penance, deep look in his eyes, looking, no jokes, not really very serious. So she became scared. She didn't like somehow. She covered her eyes. So that actually was considered an offense. It's actually an aparada. She didn't see the transcendental nature of the sadhu. And instead of welcoming, I want to, the sadhu is giving me a son. This is good news. She thought, I don't want to see this man. That was the implied attitude. So the result was that the son, that was the reaction, was born blind. And it seems that the blindness was not only physical blindness, but her spiritual blindness was transmitted also to her son. Srila Prabhupada explains in one of the purports of the Bhagavatam, and that's not necessarily a law, that meaning absolute law, this is material law. Material law, there may be chances for variation, but it's a general law that Srila Prabhupada teaches us, that generally speaking, the male child will inherit the qualities of the mother, and the female child will mostly inherit the qualities of the father. So if we take that law applied to Dhritarashtra, he inherited the qualities of the mother. In the case of Vidura, he was the son of Shudrani because none of the two wanted to have a child from Vyasadeva. The second queen, she became pale. She was afraid. But it seems that her attitude was not that spiritually. She doesn't seem, because Pandu was a very righteous king. He became actually the king. He was very pious. So one possible explanation is that he actually, her attitude was, materially she was afraid, but spiritually her attitude was not that bad as the first queen. Therefore the son, he was white actually, very pale. He was named Pandu because he was very pale. But in terms of religiosity, he was good. And the third son, Vidura, was born from a Shudrani, a mistress. She was servant to the queens. In those days, the king could give sons to such mistresses of the queens. So, but she was actually very happy. That mistress was really very happy that she will have a son from Srila Vyasadeva. Therefore, her son was the best of all. He was Vidura, the great pure devotee. He was actually a Mahajan, an incarnation of Yamaraj. So this is related to why, how is it that he was spiritually blind as well. Other questions, comments? Mark? Why it was named like that? I don't know. I will have to do some research on that. If that name was already there, actually, I know that Kuru was the ancestor of that dynasty. They were all descendants of Maharaj Kuru. Therefore, they are named the Kurus. And the Pandavas were Kurus also. But why the field was named Kurukshetra, I don't know if that name is coming exactly from Maharaj Kuru, their ancestor, or already before it was named like that. Probably it was renamed when Maharaj Kuru, but sometimes we find, for example, in terms of Bharata, when Arjuna is named Bharatarshava, or descendant of Bharata, or best of the descendants of the Bharatas, there are three Bharatas. There is the Bharata, the brother of Lord Ramachandra. There is the Bharata we are reading in the morning, the son of Maharaj Rishabhadev. And there is another Bharata in the dynasty of, in the Kuru dynasty. So these are different Bharatas. So I don't know if there are other Kurus. I could investigate and find out. So time for kirtan. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.